fields of bodies burning as the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
Hi, this is Bob Petrakis bringing you the other side of the news.
And I'm Dan Dugan, the other guy on the other side. WGRN, the Green Renaissance.
This is Bob Petrakis bringing you the other side of the news. We have a treat tonight, Vina Kali, and a former worker at the Piketon plant, involved with uranium reprocessing, manufacturing, and other things. Vina Kali, tell our listeners what your background is, a little of your biography, and who you represent.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for letting me tell the story. My name is Vina Kali, and I'm president of a group called Portsmouth Piketon Residents for Environmental Safety and Security.
Mm-hmm.
They've been in existence since about 1986, and I'm also co-founder of National Nuclear Workers for Justice and co-chair Nuclear Whistleblower Alliance, and we're members of the Alliance for Nuclear Accountability, which is a group of people who live around the site. There's like 30, 40 different groups in that organization.
Okay, why did you get involved back in the mid-80s? What prompted that?
Well, I got hired in 1980, and while I was getting hired, I wasn't aware that the union at Piketon was in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
One of the largest industries in the world was lobbying Washington, D.C. over the health and safety issues, and Senator Glenn was in office at that time, and he had promised these workers that he would do a full investigation, and all the workers got was a complete total harassment.
Hmm. And what do you mean by that, complete total harassment? What'd they do?
They turned against the union president named Denny Bloomfield, who was the leader of taking these workers up there, and this was such a secret. I've lived in this community all my life, and I never even knew that the union had went to Washington, D.C. over the radiation and all of the violation that that company had done against the workers. At one time, there was something like 600 violations.
Okay, and explain to our listeners, what would be some examples of violations and why would the workers be concerned?
Okay, first of all, Piketon is the largest industry in the world, and it's sitting over top of one of the largest aquifers in the Midwest.
Hmm.
Some of the concerns that I was working with trichloroethylene, cleaning down uranium-contaminated cells because I was an electrician, and I was working on electrical equipment, but I didn't know that the equipment had radioactive component to it. So the PCB oil that was in these process buildings was contaminated with radioactive material.
Okay, so you're cleaning radioactive material. Did you have everything that was necessary to do that?
No, they stressed up about wearing hard hats and safety glasses. They never suited us up. They never gave us anything to wear. And then I started getting sick and asking questions. And finally, they gave me paper coveralls, paper shoes, and a paper mask, and I thought they were protecting me, and we would take this trichloroethylene by the buckets full in confined spaces. Then after I got sick, they came and surveyed the area that I was working in. I had a 15-minute test, first time suited up with respiratory, all the equipment that you needed, and I exceeded the 15-minute test in 7 minutes, and they took us off, and they would not allow anyone to go into the confined space anymore and do that job. They had to use squirt bottles.
Now, what sort of sickness did you experience?
Okay, I have chronic bronchitis, which could be Brilliant disease. I have granulomas, I have 97% or 67% lung impairment, pulmonary edema. I have immune system disorder, pleural neuropathy. I've had skin cancer. I've had tumors removed. And I just have such a long, long list. I became a whistleblower in 1983 when I wrote up my first grievance about I felt like more than 30 workers at the facility was being exposed to radioactive material.
And how was that handled once you became a whistleblower? What did the company do? How did they respond?
They had my supervisors to watch me very carefully and tried to put me on jobs that wasn't contaminated. And I was working in the building they called the Roundhouse with another guy named Howard Lyons, who had a heart attack and passed away. And I started breaking out with these rashes, and I was up in the cable trays. And I kept asking Howard, what is this sticky stuff in the cable trays? And he said, he thinks it was just from oil. Well, electricians and different maintenance people got up in there and maybe spilt their oil. But as the days got hotter, the stuff got more tackier, and I was breaking out in rashes. So I got scared, so I called health physicists to come and check the area, and they had to take me off of that job and said that I was better than their equipment, and they wouldn't let me back on that job. And then my supervisor had to keep his eye on me, and he put me on a piece of equipment that I believe was contaminated, probably with beryllium, because I saw these little gray particles. And when I got sick, they did a biopsy on my lungs, and I winded up with these gray particles in my lungs. So my supervisor kept me away from everybody, had me to go on that piece of equipment. And as soon as I got it done and I saw these particles, I put something around my mouth so I couldn't breathe any more of it. So he came and got me, and we were on one of those little electric golf carts, and we went over to one of the process buildings, which was the 333 building, because they were having an alarm go off, and we went over to check the alarm. So when we got off to the top floor from the elevator, we started to the front of the building, and all of a sudden all this gray stuff was coming through the building. And he turned around and headed back toward the elevator, and I said, what's going on? And he said, well, it's no longer our job. I said, what do you mean it's no longer our job? He says, it's no longer our job now. We call in instruments. But this gray stuff was coming all through the building, which was probably one of the biggest releases that I was in. At one time, it was the uranium hexafluoride, and he took me off of that. And they tried hard to keep me off of away from stuff, but they couldn't because in 1993, I found out that we had plutonium at the Piketon site. And I brought it up in several of the public meetings about the plutonium that was on site, and they denied it. Then in 1999, I was working with a lady called Mary Bird Davis. She was working with the uranium organization, and I can't remember quite the name. And she was also working with the workers in Paducah. So she got a call from the media one night down in Louisville, Kentucky, I believe. And she called me up, and she said, Vina, she said, tomorrow we're going to be breaking a story. And I said, what's the story, Mary? She said, well, Piketon and Paducah both have plutonium and we're not supposed to have plutonium because we were a uranium enrichment facility and we enriched the uranium to the highest weapons grade that you can get. And she said, they're going to break the story. And she said, the only problem is, Vina, they gave me credit for your work. And I said, Mary, who cares as long as the story gets out? Because I've been trying to tell people we've had plutonium that I know of since 93. Well, I found out we've had plutonium there since 1953. We had it shipped in from Hanford, West Valley, New York, Savannah River, and they claim, and they still claim, that we got plutonium shipped in from Paducah, Kentucky, and it was downgraded, and it wasn't that much. But this compensation deal for the energy employees' compensation for the workers, it was because we had plutonium in the gas at the fusion plant and we weren't supposed to have it. Well, they have covered that plutonium up still today, and they're not telling people exactly, or the workers, exactly how much plutonium we had at the plant. And one of the other really big hazards at the plant was the fluoride. Ohio, I was told, don't have a standard for fluoride, but Paducah, Kentucky, and Oak Ridge, Tennessee both have a standard, and we doubled the standard. Piketon was scored as a Superfund site. We doubled a Superfund site right along with Paducah, but Piketon was never put on the Superfund list, so nationally, people looked at us as not being one of the worst facilities in the world, and we are one of the worst facilities in the world. In 1999, I also wrote the story, we buried a whole nickel plant that came in from Huntington, West Virginia that was contaminated, and I believe it's been buried in an unlined area, and they built a slurry wall to catch some of the contamination, which it came off. We found radium-226. I had a Siberian scientist who came in from Russia, and we did studies of the creeks, and we had radium-226 from an off-site, and they lied about that also. This plant was releasing plutonium, uranium, technetium, neptunium, technetium-99, chromium. They have arsenic there. They have mercury there. All of the worst chemicals that you can imagine in the world is at this facility to make bomb-grade material. They had an oxide conversion facility that they tried to run some tests on this plutonium, and it contaminated the whole area and contaminated workers, so they had to take them down to Oak Ridge. Then in 1995-97 at an NRC meeting, I brought up about the bedrock fractures at the plant. Piketon is, like I said, the largest facility in the world. There's miles and miles of piping, and it's setting on the largest aquifer in the Midwest. And the bedrock is fractured under the plant. So I brought it up to the NRC. They denied it. I brought it up again in November 2014, and they denied it. There's a paper trail. Everything that I'm telling you has been either by testimony or deposition that I can back up the paper trail. We fought really hard to keep the Midwest Compact out of here, and so the community did not want to be a waste site. So they had a meeting here, and I'd say 250 or 300 people showed up. They packed Shawnee State, saying that we don't want to be a Midwest Compact or a radioactive waste dump. So what they done, they let it die down and went to the commissioners, and they lied to these commissioners and said, if you don't let us put a waste cell out here, underground waste cell, over top of a fractured bedrock, and I'm sure they didn't tell the commissioners that, if you don't let us do this, there's not going to be no job. This is the only option that you have. So the county commissioners in the surrounding areas gave them permission to put that waste cell out there. It's on 360 acres, and the waste cell's on 100 acres of that 360. And I had a third-party assessment person who came in, and he found plutonium on the 360 acres, and it's on the east side of the facility, which normally the wind does not blow on that east side of the facility.
All right, so, this is a quick break here. This is WGRN 94.1, the Green Renaissance. I'm talking to Vina Colley, who's been giving us tremendous detail. So please continue with your story, Vina Colley.
Okay, and then now the mayor of Piketon, Billy Spencer, he hired a third-party assessment called the Ferguson Group, and they said the bedrock was fractured, and they come to the same conclusion that press and National Nuclear Workers for Justice did. we believe that the water has been contaminated for years. All the creeks from the plant go into the Scioto River, which empties into the Ohio River. The EPA has confirmed and admitted that off-site contamination is real. The depletion of the Scioto River has radiation and chemicals, and the EPA tested and confirmed this. Cancer is running rampant here in this community, and doctors have asked me about small cell cancer. It's a fast-growing cancer, and it is killing many, many people. See, at one time when we had cancer, we would go to Columbus, Cleveland, and all these other places. And back when we were really aggressive about the cancer, we finally got it going into our zip code, 45662 for Portsmouth. So no matter where you went to get diagnosed, it was kicked back to our counties. So that's why we see this a large raise in the cancer here. And the compensation bill for the workers started in 2002, and still today, 18 years after this compensation bill has been put in place, we are still fighting for compensation. They make all these workers go through all these loopholes and obstacles to try to get their compensation. It's a horrible story. We need national attention. We're 100 miles away from all the big the AP press and all the big national media. And it's a tremendous story that needs to be told. Portsmouth, like I said, enriched uranium from Hanford and West Valley that had been irradiated in a nuke. The reprocessing operation Flux does not separate the uranium from the plutonium 100% perfectly. So Portsmouth has had the plutonium since 1953.
All right. This is Bob Fitrakis bringing you the other side of the news. You're listening to Vina Colley talking about what's going on in Piketon, Ohio. And you said the plutonium's been there since 1953. What were they doing there? You mentioned bombs.
Nobody really knows what they're doing. They claim we were making the extra blast in the bomb. But who really knows, because we had the centrifuge there. They started the centrifuge up. When they started it up, it contaminated the building with alpha daughters, and they never told the workers. They never tell the workers now that they're working in plutonium, because there's a consent agreement been signed with the state of Ohio. And so they're hurrying up, cleaning up this site, and they're endangering more workers. And a lot of these new workers will not be covered under that Energy Employees Compensation Act. And the other thing that we have is we have 25,000 depleted uranium cylinders sitting in the yard giving off high neutron exposures. They're stacked 2 to 3 high, and there are 25,000 of these. It's almost already like a big dump site.
So would it be safe to say that Piketon is a so-called sacrifice zone where the government allowed and industry allowed it essentially to become a massive Superfund site?
Yes, and they covered the Superfund site up by a consent agreement.
And what is this consent decree? What is the agreement? What did they? Who agreed to it, and what did they agree to?
The state of Ohio and the EPA and the plant agreed to clean this site up under RCRA, I think. And what's happened is, just last week, to give you an example, there was a pipe that was crushed, and all this water was going into this holding pond on the north side. At no time has any of the community residents ever been told of any releases that they've had at this facility. And last week, there was a pipe that got crushed, and the water is close to the cylinders. I've been told that it came from the maintenance part of where the DUF-6 is stored. If it is, the EPA or no one took samples. The EPA wasn't even informed until I called to ask about it. And so they do what they want to do, and they don't inform the community. They don't inform the workers. You have to think about an earthquake that we've had here before. And we had a tornado back in 1968 at 250 miles per hour that wiped off a big section of Lewisburg, Ohio, which is another community not far from this plant. Plus the flooding. The whole time this leak was going into the North Holding Pond last week, it was flooding and the waters overflowed. They had a big mess and nobody took samples. They didn't tell us. They didn't tell the EPA. And like I said, they have Little Beaver Creek, Big Beaver Creek, and Big Run. And all of these creeks, one definitely comes from the plant. I think it's Little Beaver Creek. And they all empty into the Scioto River and into the Ohio River.
So how far is Piketon from the Ohio River?
20 miles, maybe.
Okay.
25.
What you say, but though, when the flooding comes, it actually overflows ultimately into the Ohio River?
Yeah, some of their holding ponds have overflowed in the community and went straight into the Scioto River. The Scioto River is probably less than 4 miles from the plant. And they had a pipe, and I have a great picture because I took it, and the EPA was testing the Scioto River. To the Scioto River here, all empties out into the Ohio River. But the Scioto River is right directly across from the plant and the creek, Little Beaver, and Big Run, and all of the overflow go into the Scioto River, and it's no further than 4 miles from the plant. And this one pipe, two pipes that I know of, go straight from the plant straight into the Scioto River.
What do those pipes contain?
Well, when they checked the fish back when I was with the EPA, the fish was radioactive. They had chromium, hexavalent chromium, which is highly toxic. They had mercury. They had PCB oil in the fish. So the EPA is aware of what's going on out there. It's just that I don't know what all is covered under the consent agreement with the state of Ohio. But not putting us on the national priorities list as one of the worst facilities in the world, you never hear about Piketon.
And why do you suppose that is? And I'm also concerned, what kind of fish are they? No one would eat those fish, would they?
The fish had tumors and sores on them, and there is some people that probably do fish and eat the fish. And there's also people that live in Pike County that get baptized in the contaminated creeks.
What did you say? They get what? Baptized? So they're they're going down for a religious ritual, and they're maybe in contaminated, toxic radioactive water?
Yes. Yes, that's true.
And
they need to open up.
Go ahead.
They need to open up the record of decision on this this waste cell. It should never be put underground at this site. And they think it's going to be safe for 1,000 years. Now, you tell me anything that you build is going to be safe for 1,000 years.
Well, I don't know of anything. You know, we're lucky if something's safe for 5 years these days, a few years.
Now, I will say that over the past year or so, there's been a regional movement to oppose the waste. All of the city council people, Portsmouth, New Boston, Piketon, Jackson, Chillicothe, and I'm sure I've missed a few of them, have all signed on to oppose that waste site. The county commissioners are still for it because they're the ones who were for it to begin with, but I believe that the plant has lied to them to get them to okay this waste site. And the other thing, they were losing such credibility in the community. Last week, they gave 80 acres away to this community reuse organization called SODI to get better relationships in the community, and that land is contaminated too. The community residents that live on the south side of that plant, their wells were contaminated with Technetium-99. And plant that this 80 acres that they just gave them to build an industrial site is on the south side of the plant where the old airstrip was and where they used to have the old payroll. And it's not too far from where they used to have the steam plant where they burnt radioactive oil and put it in the ground. And then they had the Huntington Nickel plant over close to these 80 acres that they want to build a something to put an industry out there.
Hmm. And you're sure that that area is contaminated?
The whole plant's contaminated. According to the lawsuit that I read, the citizen's lawsuit, they found radioactive material in pine needles 6 miles away from that plant.
So why do you think Piketon is being ignored?
Because they're sacrificing us. They think we're dumb Appalachian hillbillies. Nobody reads their reports. Everything and every story that I broke, I read their reports. That's how the stories got broke.
So it's all in the public record?
It's in public records if people would just read it.
Okay, so you're reading it. What are you going to do next, and how can people help you?
Maybe call our representatives, ask them what's going on. This facility scares everybody about jobs, and so that's how they've been able to get by with storing all that waste on site, because they said if you don't let us store this waste, then we're going to shut the plant down. There won't be no workers. Well, cleanup is going to be a long-time job because all of those piping in those process buildings, and I'm talking miles and miles of piping, has this hold-up material in it. And when I always told them that they need robotics to go in to clean them pipes out, not humans. And now they're talking about getting a couple of those. So I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know how they're going to get rid of the waste. I don't know how they're going to demo the building. But I do know that the 360 acres is already contaminated with plutonium, which they said they just took some samples, and four of them showed background levels of plutonium. There's no background levels of plutonium.
Okay, we've got a couple minutes left. What do you want to tell our listeners in the last 2 minutes?
I'd like to ask listeners to call a representative, try to get us help, get the word out what's going on down here in southern Ohio. We need help, and we need it. We need voices. We need petitions. We need any kind of help that anyone can give us. And we do need to get the Department of Energy to come in here and to tell the community the truth, hold a big meeting, and tell us what's going on. You know, right now it's still like the fox watching the hen.
All right, those are the words of Vina Colley, whistleblower from Piketon, Ohio. And do you have a Facebook page that people can contact you at?
Yes, it's Vina Colley on my Facebook. And my phone number is 740-357-8916.
Well, thank you, Vina, for bringing the listeners of WGRN 94.1 the other side of the news. Keep up the fight.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for listening to The Other Side of the News. This is Bob Fitrakis.
And Dan Dugan, WGRN 94.1 LPFM, The Green Renaissance.